You know, when I was in Texas, I worshiped where Pat, Chris's brother, goes. And I always wondered about them. And I thought there had to be something that would tell me more about them. And then I found out they were kin to the Duck Dynasty people. And it all just cleared up. And if you don't know what Duck Dynasty is, I can't explain it to you now. This morning we examined that what elders are to be, that they are to be men of good reputation that deserve respect. They are to be men with stable families. They are to be men of Christian character that have good spiritual instincts and dispositions. Now, I ran over this morning. I understand that. Jeannie said, I don't care how long you preach. I said, obviously I don't either. But maybe some of you do. But tonight we have a much shorter list, and a list that requires far less explanation. So do not expect the same length this evening. This evening, though, I want us to continue, though, by beginning by seeing that elders are to be men of seasoned ability. And once again, these all come from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. They are to be men recognized for competency and maturity. And first part of that is that they are to be men that are holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, Titus 1 and verse 9. An elder is to possess a proper knowledge of the faithful word. He is to possess a proper knowledge of God's word and the doctrines therein. He has to hold on to the faith found in God's word as he faces the challenges that are sure to come as an elder. You know, there's going to be challenges to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And he's going to have to understand that. He's going to have to know that and hold fast to it in the face of challenges. He has to understand these things. These are things that face the church on a daily basis and have faced the church on a daily basis since the church began. And that is people that would have the church be something other than what God designed for it to be in his word. And so these men need to understand God's word, so that they can make the proper stands and hold fast to those things. It says that they are to hold fast the faithful word in accordance with the teaching. And that is talking about the sound words. It is the same sound words that Paul talks to Timothy about in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. I don't know if Ozzy has covered that in his class on Wednesday night, but talking about sound words, you know, that men need to hold to those. But that is exactly what this is talking about when it says in accordance with the teaching. It's the same word that comes down and is translated sound words or sound doctrine. If an elder does not believe, practice, and teach what is sound doctrine, then he is not qualified to lead the Lord's church. Because the Lord's church, as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, is the pillar and support of truth. He is leading that which is the foundation of truth. He is leading that which is to hold up or be the pillar to hold up the truth before the world. And it is incumbent upon any man that would take that office to know the truth of God's word that is to be held up. You know, we need men leading that are going to prevent the church from moving away from the truth to other teachings. Other teachings that will only lead people to be lost. And this can only be accomplished by men willing to hold to sound doctrine of the Scriptures. Elders must be the front line of these men. You know, churches go away from Christ for many reasons, but a lot of them begin by elders not holding fast to the word of truth. Many of them go because preachers do not hold fast to the word of truth, and many go because members do not hold fast to the word of truth. So we're all responsible, but they're the first line of defense as the leaders. Second, they need to be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. And these continue to be a continuing aspect of what they need to do in regards to holding fast. But there are two parts to this. Number one is to exhort in sound doctrine. Elders must be men capable of encouraging others to obey and to live faithfully according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this ties us to the previous attribute in that they must know the Scriptures and the truth to be able to do that. You can't help someone come to the gospel of Jesus Christ if you do not know what that is yourself. You have to know that. They have to know that. And certainly the men that are going to hold leadership positions in the Lord's church must know that. There are so many Christians today who have such a shallow understanding of the Scriptures that there must be men leading that know the truth and can encourage those members to grow in their knowledge of God's Word. Second, we see that they are to refute those who contradict. Friends, there are many people in the world today that are contradicting what God's Word says. There are many people in the world in opposition to what the Word of God says. And there are people even within the Lord's body that contradict what the truth is, and they must be refuted. We must stand for what is right. We must give a clear defense of what God has said to those. Elders are to confront those who do not hold to the truth, those that contradict the truth. And, you know, they must be willing to do that. And some people are not comfortable with that. Some people will never be qualified to be an elder because they're not comfortable with, as somebody might say, I'm not comfortable with confrontation. Then you're not, you know, you don't need to be an elder. Because there are times when you have to confront those that are in contradiction to the truth. And it's going to be a confrontation. You're going to have to bring God's Word. But like we said this morning, they are to be men that do that in a calm and respectful manner. It does not have to involve any kind of unchristian behavior. Third, they are to be able to teach. And this one just kind of falls right in line, doesn't it? Now, this is where Timothy says this in 1 Timothy, or Paul says it's to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and 2, that an elder should be a teacher. Well, all the things that we just talked about have to do with that. And in its way, it's basically how Paul is telling Timothy to do the things that he said to Titus as far as holding fast to the truth. The word means, as far as being able to teach, is to be fit, suited, inclined, ready, or prepared. And the primary word here means by, it's the primary means by which an elder is able to hold fast the truth. It is the primary way, means in which he exhorts to sound doctrine. It's the primary means in which he will refute those that contradict the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can only be done through teaching. Error can only be stopped through teaching. There is no error that will ever be stopped just by a good example. Error has to be stopped through teaching of God's Word. And so an elder who leads has to be a person that can convict those people with powerful and bold teaching. Elders are to have both the ability and they are to be prepared to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Timothy also, or Paul tells Timothy as well in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, that these men are not to be a new convert. Or they're not to be, your translation may say novice or someone new. But the Greek word used here comes from two Greek words and literally means new plant, is what the two words mean. And it literally means to be newly planted. And there are two aspects that this may be addressing. One, and they both logically fall into line with why an elder would need to not be this. Number one is that he not be a new convert. An elder certainly should not be an individual that is not mature in the gospel. You know, not a babe in Christ. A babe in Christ would not have the knowledge or the experience as a child of God to be able to lead. There are lots of things to learn. I'd have to write a book to tell you all the things I've learned in 20 years of preaching. Not that I was pretty smart when I started, but I wish I could go back and shake that guy and tell him what he didn't know. Because, you know, we learn so much through years of working in the Lord's church and teaching the lost. So they need to be people that can do that. But also there is this aspect that a young Christian would have a very difficult time resisting the temptations of pride that would come with the office. You know, to begin to think a little too much of themselves than they ought to think. And so a young Christian would have a difficult time resisting that, where a stronger, mature Christian would be able to deal with such attitudes better. Also, there is the aspect of a new transplant member, someone from somewhere else. You know, he may have been an elder in another congregation, and he comes to a new congregation, but that doesn't mean he should be made an elder right then. Because there is an aspect from the standpoint of being a shepherd that the shepherd needs to know his sheep. And the sheep need to know the shepherd. And we talked about, as we talked about the leadership that Jesus Christ looks for, it is leadership that is already established and people want to follow because of the example of the men. And so the people would need to get to know him so that they could learn to respect him. I mean, he may very well be the man that needs to be an elder, but they need to learn to respect and to know that he is that man. And that will help him a great deal in at the time that he does become an elder. So, two aspects that may be addressing in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. Elders are also, or must be also, men of temperate habits. Men who lead decent and well-behaved lives. I've had people tell me over the course of these lessons, are you trying to get everybody not to want to be an elder? No, but we need to understand the gravity of this position and how important it is that the right men are occupying this position. Well, first thing we see is in Titus chapter 1 and verse 8 that they are to be self-controlled. He is one in control of his life. He is self-disciplined. He is self-mastered. I can control my life. I don't need somebody holding me down. You know, it's sort of like the difference between having a dog that's on a leash and a dog that you don't have to have on a leash, right? There's one you're controlling, and some people need some controlling. Our children, a lot of times, when we're raising them, right, they need some controlling. We need to hold them. Hold him back from some things. But an elder should be a man that cannot hold himself back and is self-mastered. And this is one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, and that is self-control. To control oneself. And that may be one of the hardest things any person has to learn in their life is self-control. It is hard to control ourselves sometimes. To control and to keep ourselves on the path that God wants us to be on and not let our pride get a hold of us, not let our anger get a hold of us, not let a lot of the emotions that will drive us to things that we shouldn't be driven to get a hold of us and move us in the wrong direction, but to control our lives in spite of those things. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 also says that elders are not to be self-willed. And this could be worded as not being arrogant or presumptuous. It implies that he is not overbearing. An elder is not a contentious man. He is not determined to rule or ruin. He is not set on having his own way. He is not convicted that he is always right to the exclusion of never listening to anybody else. You know, we have a lot of people that we come across in our lives, and I'm sure everybody here can relate to this, that have the, I already have my mind made up, don't bother me with any facts kind of attitude. And an elder doesn't need to have that kind of attitude. He needs to be willing to listen. Now, he needs to be convicted in what he believes to be true, but if shown that what he believes is not in accordance with God's Word, he needs to be willing to listen to that. You know, I have read scriptures. I read a scripture one time to an elder, and this was his words to me. I don't care about that. Now, there's the preacher side of me that really, that just caused my head to go, you know. I said, I'm sorry, excuse me? You don't care about that? He said, no. I said, I just read you God's Word and you don't care? Well, no, that ain't what I meant. Well, that's what you said. You know, I can't drive anything else from that. But he still didn't want to do what it said. He still wanted to do exactly opposite of what the Scripture said. He had his mind made up, didn't care about the facts, didn't care about the Scriptures. He didn't need to be an elder because he did not meet that qualification. He was self-willed. You know, Peter addressed this type of character of an elder in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, where Peter says that elders are not to act as lords over the flock. They're not to act as a king or a lord, you know, handing down edicts and just oppressively putting things on people. That's not what an elder does. He leads. He doesn't just go by edict. He goes by example and by God's Word. And so he is not to be this kind of individual. Titus 1 and 7 also says that he's not to be quick-tempered. An elder is not to be a hothead. I remember a man telling me one time, I don't know if I've told y'all this or not, but we were just gearing up for an elder process at this place. In fact, I'd only been there about a month, right? And I was at Hardee's eating with this man. He had invited me and his family to go in to eat at Hardee's after church. It's the only place in town. It was a nothing town. That was it. You went and ate at Hardee's or you went and ate at a house, but there was nowhere else. So we're at Hardee's. Not from a choice, but for lack of options. And he looked at me, and we were talking about the elder process that was about to begin. And he looked at me, and he went, let me tell you what. If I don't become an elder, I'll squeal like a pig under a gate. And I thought, I got my objection. I have a good feeling you're not going to become an elder. And he didn't. And he did. You know, he was a man of his word. He squealed like a pig under a gate. And you know, but in doing so, he showed himself to be unqualified for the position. You know, elders have to deal with people as well who are quick-tempered. And there is nothing worse than putting two quick-tempered people into a heated discussion, right? Because all you're going to get out of two quick-tempered people is a fight. You need, when you're dealing with a quick-tempered person and you deal with quick-tempered people in the Lord's church at times, you need a calm person. A person in control, right? A person who's not going to lose their temper. Because they will keep the situation level. They will keep bringing it back from what could be an ugly situation. And so an elder needs to be that kind of man. A man who is not quick-tempered but can settle a situation down by his calmness. He is also not to be, according to 1 Timothy 3 and 7 and Titus 1 and 7, he is not to be addicted to wine. You know, I love the way the English translates that is very deceiving. Because some people think, well, he's not to be addicted to wine. He can drink, he just can't be addicted. However you make that discernment. You know, he can't, but that's really, you know, while the English is a little bit vague, the Greek is very precise. And that's why we are glad we still have the Greek manuscripts that we can look at and we can understand some of the English translation a little bit better than what it has. The Greek word is the Greek word paranoios. Para, where we get our word parallel, is around or alongside. Oinos is wine. He is not to be around wine. He is not to be beside wine. Let me tell you what, you can't drink without being around it. And if you drink, you are around it. And you're beside it. And so this is not talking about he just can't be addicted to it. It's saying he can't be around it. He's not to be anywhere near it. So an elder is not to be a man that is around alcohol, that is around alcoholic wine. He is not to be concerned with or around it or directed toward it in any way. Most scholars believe that this includes any type of social drinking. It includes any type of drinking at all of alcohol. Because this word just will not let you be around it to be able to do it. You know, we tell people, if you have a problem with drinking, don't be around it, right? Well, don't ever be around it. You won't ever have a problem with it. And that's what this particular qualification is dealing with. So let's not get confused because the Greek word is very precise and lays out the message for us very clear. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 also says that he's not to be pugnacious. He's not to be a violent man. And Paul is writing this to Titus, and he writes this to Titus alone about him not being this kind of man because Titus is on Crete, okay? Timothy's in Ephesus. Ephesus is very civilized. Crete, well, they're Cretans. And they are a rough group of people. And, they were violent people. They were famous in the Roman Empire for being violent people. And so he says, you know, an elder can't be a violent man. And for a Cretan, you know, he's really going to have to change quite a bit not to be a violent man. But we know, you know, we do not need men that, you know, elders punching people out, right? And I've had to hold Tom back a couple of times, but I've kept him from it. Actually, I was holding Nita back from punching him, but that's a different story. There was a story, and you know how preacher stories are. You hear one preacher tell it, and he probably heard another preacher tell it, and you don't even really know if it's true. So I'm going to give you that as an upfront here, whether this is true or not, because I heard it from an older preacher, and I don't know where he heard it from. I don't think he was there. But the story is told of an eldership in North Mississippi back in the early 20th century that they couldn't agree on a particular issue one Sunday afternoon, so they just went out back and fought, and last man standing won. Well, I think the whole group just got disqualified, but, that's not the kind of men we want. I sit in on elders' meetings on Monday nights, and we've never came to the point of stepping out in the parking lot yet, and I hope we don't ever get there. He is also not to be fond of sordid gain. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. Sordid means dishonest gain. Paul told Timothy that an elder should be free from the love of money. Why? Because the love of money, as Paul would go on to tell Timothy, is the root of all evil, right? And it brings a lot of people to destruction. And understand, we're not talking, money's not the root of all evil, the love of money is the root of all evil. If an elder is consumed with money, he will have access to large amounts of the Lord's money and may be tempted to take of it from himself. And I've known church secretaries, preachers, and not Julie, but church secretaries and preachers and elders to do this. And so, you know, it is something that it can be a temptation. So they definitely do not need to have this particular weakness in their life of having a struggle with love of money. You know, one who loves money will have his heart somewhere besides the Lord's church. Because in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so, you know, what our love of in this life is, what we're focused on in this life, is going to be the most important thing. And if it's money, it's not going to take us in the direction that God wants us to go. You know, the attributes that we have observed this morning and tonight are what any man who is to be considered for the eldership must have. Remember, we talked about this morning the word must. He must have these things. He must have these in his life. And he must have these things to a high degree in his life. Now, granted, no man is going to have all of our elders or any set of elders or any man brought forward to be considered as elders are not going to have all these things to the same degree, but they all have to have them to a high degree. You know, they have to be mature in these areas and not trying to get to these things, but already having achieved them and working on them. The process has nothing to this process of appointing new elders over the congregation has nothing to do with, and we need to understand this, has nothing to do with your friends. Has nothing to do with your family. It has nothing to do with popularity, how well someone is liked. It has everything to do with finding the men that have the character that God desires for His leaders. And on that subject, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, giver of all power and dominion, we pray tonight that You be with us as we embark on this effort to appoint additional elders to oversee this congregation. We pray, Father, that You bless us with the wisdom that we might put forth the men that best meet Your criteria for Your leaders. We pray that each of us will participate in this effort with humility and an attitude of seeking what is best for Your family here at Cary. We thank You for the good shepherds that You have currently provided to us and pray that You give them the wisdom to lead and guide this process. And Lord, help us to find those men from our number who can best serve as Your shepherds. May our only concern, Father, be pleasing You and obeying Your word. We pray these things in the name of our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening, if you're not a child of God, we want you to know that you have the opportunity now to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. If you understand what that is and you know your need to respond to that, we hope and pray that you will. If you do not understand what you need to do, you do not know the good news, you have not sat down and had someone teach you what Jesus Christ wants you to know, then find someone here and we will be glad to sit down with you and show you the good news for your life. If you're a child of God this evening and maybe you haven't been living as you should, maybe you haven't had a lot of these characteristics. Like I said, these characteristics are just Christian characteristics. None of us should be fighters, should be brawlers. None of us should be around wine. None of us should be all these things that we've talked about tonight. We should have these qualities or not have the things that He says not to have in our lives, but we should have these things that an elder should have. And if you have not, then pray to God for forgiveness. Ask Him to strengthen you. If we can help you in any way spiritually this evening, we want to do that as we stand and as we sing.